Our gospel reading is John's account of the resurrection, of that first Easter Sunday, which began in sorrow but soon turned to joy. Hear the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I believe it's important to remember that the first Easter Sunday started with tears. That's right. Mary Magdalene was crying. She was crying because her once vibrant Jesus, full of love and life and grace and wisdom, was now a dead Jesus, a Jesus of broken body, a Jesus of rotting flesh, a Jesus who had been cruelly, painfully executed, a Jesus who had been taken from her, a Jesus who was no more. So she had already been crying. Actually, ever since Jesus had first been nailed to that cross, she had been crying. It was as if she couldn't stop crying. She was stuck in her tears, in her sorrow. And now she was crying because she had gone to the tomb, gone there to pay her respects, to place flowers, to honor this rabbi, this dead rabbi, whom most all had abandoned, to do what needed to be done to care for his body now in deathly repose. But when she got there, when she got to the tomb, she found it not as she had expected to find it. She had expected the tomb to be sealed up, closed with a large stone, to keep the decay and stench inside, to keep grave robbers and scavenging animals outside. But the expected was not what she found. The tomb was not sealed up. Instead, it was open. It was empty. Nobody was there. Or should I say, no body was there. So she started crying all the more, her imagination right away going to thoughts of grave robbers and scavenging animals, or maybe just some sort of reorganizing at the cemetery. The heaping of even more injustices upon her departed master. It was as if she couldn't stop crying, because she was stuck in her tears, in her sorrow. Of course, when she went there looking for Jesus, she went there looking for Jesus, for the Jesus she had known, a mortal Jesus, a Jesus of memory, a Jesus of history, a Jesus that belongs, as does Mary, to before and after, to cause and effect, to the past but not to the future, not anymore, not any longer. Which means that here too, she was stuck. She was stuck in that understanding of Jesus. She was stuck in the past. She was stuck in sorrow. She was stuck. Sometimes I get stuck. Do you? Yeah, I expect that at least some of you do get stuck. Stuckness, look it up. It's a word, isn't it? Should be. Stuckness is so common and so frequent. Now, I'm not talking about literally being stuck. Like that time when my boys were little and it was winter and we were driving home and they were arguing in the back seat and I yelled in my dad voice, don't make me pull over. And then I did. And I got the car stuck in the snow on the unplowed shoulder of the road. That's not the kind of stuck I mean. Instead, I'm talking about being stuck emotionally, spiritually, stuck as selves, a stuckness of the soul. Sometimes it's about inaction. It's about not moving forward. We get stuck in ways that make it tough to do anything constructive. We find ourselves paralyzed in our fear, incapacitated by our worry. Sometimes it's not inaction, but too much action. It's about repetition. Our stuckness is seen in debilitating patterns of behavior that we do over and over and over and over again. The compulsive behaviors of minds and hearts dominated by death and ripped apart by envy and crushed by fear and fouled, absolutely fouled by hate. We might point to events and circumstances outside of us that cause our stuckness. And they sure do have an impact. But really, the cause finally, ultimately, most truly lies inside of us. Because we shout or whisper to ourselves 1,001 words, 1,001 times a day, what all amount to these lies: you can do nothing. You have nothing. You are nothing. And so, we are stuck. Mary was stuck. So she didn't know that it was Jesus. Not yet. Not at first. It wasn't until he said her name that she knew him. And with a word, he gets her unstuck. Mary. That's what he says. Mary. And with that one word, With his uttering her name, he reveals himself to her. He gives her eyes of faith that can see him as he is, alive, present, full of power and life and glory. The same and not the same as before, and yet more. Not just resuscitated, but resurrected. Not just back, but greater. And then, in a tremendous sign of his unstucking of her, Jesus gives Mary a job. Mary, she goes from the garden with a job, with a task, full of joy, full of the joy that is Christ's gift. Mary goes to tell others the good news of resurrection. She goes to tell others that he is risen. And so the risen Christ turns her from a mourner into a proclaimer. He changes her from a weeper into a declarer. He converts her from a crier into a preacher. Yes, Mary Magdalene was the first preacher. And even though some still find this uncomfortable, even though Christians for centuries ignored it and suppressed it, even though some Christians do so even to this day, it truly was women, especially this woman, who were the first evangelists, the first to proclaim the good news, the first to tell others that Jesus had been raised from the dead. John, the beloved disciple that's talked about in that passage, who with Peter had raced to the tomb, we are told that he was the first to believe the good news. But Mary was the first to proclaim the good news, the first to declare it, the first to preach it. He is not dead. He is alive. He is risen from the grave. What a striking image of Easter unstuckness. Because women in those days, in that culture, were intentionally, systematically kept stuck. Sure, things are better today, somewhat. They're not perfect. And those who think things are all fine are part of the problem. There are still plenty of ways in which women are kept stuck, ways that do not apply to men. But back then, it was so thorough, this drawing of a very small circle of a woman's place in which she must stay and outside of which she may not step. Yet Jesus, the risen Christ, no longer dead but alive, encounters Mary and releases her from weeping for a purpose, from the past for the future, from despair for hope, from the expected for the unexpected, from sorrow for joy, from death for life, from the conventional and customary and required and enforced women's role of silence for a new role of speech, courageous and truthful and drenched with resurrection power. And so he still does today. My friends, Jesus is risen, and he speaks your name. He speaks your name, calling you to see him not as he was, but as he now is. He speaks your name, releasing you from your inaction and your compulsivity. He speaks your name, enabling you to speak words of power and new life. He speaks your name, untying you from the bondage of the expected and the customary. He speaks your name, setting you free from your own forms of stuckness. He speaks your name, liberating you from the past for the future, from despair for hope, from the expected for the unexpected, from sorrow for joy, from death for life. He speaks your name. Do you hear it? Do you hear him? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please pray with me. loving Jesus, risen Lord, in eternal unity with the Father and the Spirit, we pray that you give us ears to hear when you call our names. Give us a lively sense of your presence. Lead us, guide us out of our different ways of being stuck into the new life that you give your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.